While we're getting the slides switched over, I just, well, today is our anniversary, and I wanted to thank God and give him praise for blessing Libby and I with 35 years of marriage. So, clothes are very important to us. I did a Google search and I found this Motley Fool article published on NASDAQ.com, July 26, 2022, stating that each American household spends on average about $1,500 a year on clothes and related services. And I also found this article from the New York Times published August 26, 1979, discussing a number of psychologic analytics about clothing, which one may or may not agree with. But there was a sentence in this article that I thought was very good, and I'll quote it. Quote, clothes send out an endless variety of messages about who we are, what we feel, and which group we belong to. Today we're going to return to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to talk about new clothes, putting on a new self in the image of Christ, clothes that change us, define who we are, how we feel, and what group we belong to. But before we get into that, by way of reminder, Paul wrote the book of Colossians and prayed that the people in Colossae would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. He encouraged them that as they had received Christ Jesus the Lord, to so walk in him, to be rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as they were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. We'll see today that thanksgiving is an important part of the Christian life. Paul encouraged them with the preeminence of Christ, and he warned the Colossians not to be taken captive and deceived by human philosophy, legalism, asceticism, and the worship of angels that were creeping in and were a danger to their faith and to the church. In chapter 3, Paul then turns to practical application. In this passage, we see that Paul gives us instruction on how to walk in a manner worthy of the preeminence of Christ. To help remember these instructions, I used some alliteration with S's. Paul instructed the Colossians and us to seek and set our minds on things that are above and to slay the old self. I covered that in August when I preached. Today, we're going to pick up where I left off, and we'll see that Paul tells us to suit up with the new self or to put on new clothes. He also gives us four practical steps on how to do this. Before we get into the suiting up and the steps to do so, by further review, let me remind you that last time we looked at six theological truths that remind us of the privileged position we have in Christ and that motivate us to walk in a manner worthy of our position and calling and to seek and set our minds on Christ. These include, one, the preeminence of Christ, summarized in verse 11, as Christ is all and in all. Two, our former condition in which we once walked or lived and were under God's wrath. Three, our current condition of being chosen, holy, and beloved. Four, our union with Christ, having died and having been raised with him. Five, the fact that we are hidden with Christ in God, that we are secure in him and have all the treasures stored up in him. And six, that we will appear with Christ when he appears in glory. So we possess a very privileged position in Christ. And Paul tells us to seek and set our minds on him so that we are able to live up to that privileged status. Doing so involves slaying or putting to death or putting off or putting away our old self, along with its idolatrous practices and sinful heart attitudes of covetousness, which lead to evil desires and passions, impure thoughts, and sexual immorality, and to put away anger, malice, slander, obscene talk, and lying. We also began looking at what I like to call the replacement principle, replacing or putting off the old self and putting on the new self. The Christian life, the process of sanctification and becoming conformed to the image of Christ, is not just about stopping sinning or not doing something that we're not supposed to do. It is more importantly about doing what we are supposed to do, living up to the justified status that we enjoy in Christ, and living out the holy life that we have been given in Him. So we must not only slay or put to death or put off our old self, but we must also suit up with or put on the new self. So let's look at what Paul has to say about that and four steps on how to suit up with our new clothes. So to review and to get the full context, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles or follow along on the slides, I'm going to read the passage 3:1 through 17, although I'm really only going to preach on the latter half of that. But to get the full context, let's start with verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us your word. We thank you that it is the words of life. We thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to illumine us. And I pray, Lord, that as I speak these words that you've put upon my heart, that they would be true to your word. I pray that you would use these words to transform our minds, to transform our hearts, to transform our lives, that we would put on new clothes after Christ, and that we would glorify you in all that we do. Amen. So verse 10 in this passage tells us that we must slay or put off the old self. But that's not all we must do. We must also suit up with or put on the new self. The Greek word for put on in duo literally means to sink into a garment or to enclose. So what are these new clothes that we're to put on like? Well, one type of clothing Scripture talks about is the whole armor of God, that we can stand so that we can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That's another sermon for another day. In this passage, we are told that our new suit, our new clothes that we are to put on are to be renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Ephesians 4:24 adds, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So this new self or suit or clothes is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And Romans 13:14, which Walton read earlier, adds that these clothes are like Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. If we put on Christ, we must put off our old self and our old clothes. This transformation is a work of the Holy Spirit and His Word. Paul wrote in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, said in Luke 24:49, that he was sending the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and that we would be clothed with power from on high. And Peter talks about this power in 2 Peter 1 as his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So as we renew our minds by the divine power of the Holy Spirit and His Word, we put on new clothes and we are able to escape our sinful desires that characterized our old self or clothes, and we become a new person, a new creation. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. God's desire for us is that in our new clothes, we are to be like Christ, renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator. Just as our old self was characterized by sinful heart attitudes resulting in evil desires and actions, the new self with new clothes is characterized by a renewed heart attitudes and actions. Paul fleshes this out further in verses 12 through 14 of chapter 3. The things Paul mentions here for us to put on closely mirror the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and the blessed attitudes in Matthew 5. I would also refer you to the passages that Dalton read to us from Romans 12 and 13, as well as Ephesians 4 and 2 Peter 1. In verse 14, Paul tells us to put on love, agape. This is a love of the will, a love where we decide to love our neighbors and our brothers and sisters as God has loved us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. And Paul says that love binds everything together in perfect harmony. If we have the love of Christ in us, we will love others, and we can put on the things Paul mentions in verses 12 and 13, and they will naturally flow out of us. In verse 12, Paul starts out telling us to put on compassionate hearts. Or as my favorite translation of this Greek phrase, splanchnon oiktermos, bowels of mercy in the King James Version. The Hebrews knew that emotions affect our guts. We sometimes use the phrase gut-wrenching when we hear about some hardship or tragedy that has happened, and we have compassion on those who were affected. Think of the compassion Jesus had for the Jews, the crowds, the sick, the blind, and the lame. And the parables he told of compassion, or the lack thereof, in the parable of the good Samaritan, the prodigal son, and the unforgiving servant. If we are motivated by love and have bowels of mercy or compassionate hearts, we will reach out to others with kindness and return blessings for insults. Romans 12:14 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them." Verse 20, "To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." If we are humble and meek toward others, we will consider their interests ahead of our own. Philippians 2:1 through 5 says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." With these new clothes and the fruit of the Spirit, we will be gentle rather than angry and wrathful. We will be patient and long-suffering, and we will bear with one another and be willing to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bear with one another in love." And 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Back to verse 14, tying it all together, we should love others as Christ has loved us. Another way Paul put this in 1 Corinthians 13 was to say that love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. In short, when we seek and set our minds on things that are above where Christ is, as Galatians 3:27 says, we put on Christ and we begin to act like him, demonstrating love, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and forgiveness. Back to that introductory article that I showed, "You Are What You Wear," I wanted to read to you an excerpt from this book that we've been studying on Thursdays over the last few months, Washed by God. I just thought Carl Dienick, the author, really nailed it. He says, "Sometimes we think that we put on new clothes, we can become different people. The ads we see promises that. They promise that if we have that new hat or new coat or new jeans, we'll be cool, sexy, popular, confident, and successful. And so often we believe it, even though we know it's stupid. But despite all the marketing hype, when we put on the new clothes and head to work or to a concert or to a friend's party, we still know that deep down we're the same people. Our clothes fail to change us, and they fail to change our destiny. But imagine if there were a set of clothes that you could put on that would really change you. Imagine a suit or a dress that could change your future and your destiny. Imagine a pair of clothes that you could put on so that your life would never be the same again. Imagine a pair of clothes that you could put on that would not only change your life now, but could give you an eternal inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And imagine if these same clothes didn't just change your destiny, they changed you. Imagine that they were clothes whose own qualities infused themselves into you, mingled together with you in such a way as to wash away everything that was evil and corrupt and replace it with everything that was noble, good, pure, and holy. These are the kind of clothes that if most people found, they would go out and sell everything they had and buy them. They would drop everything they were doing to get them. The kind of cleansing we have in the gospel by being linked up with Jesus gives us an entirely new identity with a totally new inheritance. This is the kind of clothes Paul is talking about here. So to summarize what we've talked about so far, we want to put off the old self or the old clothes that in which we once walked and lived and practiced and were under God's wrath. And those include things like sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, and lying, among others. And we want to put on the new self or our new clothes, which are renewed in the knowledge after the image of the Creator. We are chosen, holy, and beloved, and we should be characterized by compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiving, loving, and thankfulness. So how do we do that? Well, Paul goes on and gives us four steps that we can use to put on or to suit up with these new clothes. In verses 15 through 17, we see these steps. The first is that we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Romans 5:1 says, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because we have peace with God, we can make peace with others." Listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2. "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who are near. For through him we have both have access in one spirit to the Father." So Jesus came to give us peace, but also to destroy the hostility that so often divides people so that we can be at peace with others, especially fellow believers. And God has given us a ministry of reconciliation in which we are to pursue peace with others. 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21 says, "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And Romans 12:18 tells us, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." This verse tells us that we are to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. The Greek word brobeo, or rule, means to arbitrate or to umpire. Verses 11 and 15 in chapter 3 tell us that we are called into one body. There are no ethnic or social differences. Christ is all and in all of us. And Paul wrote in Galatians 3, "For in Christ Jesus, you are the sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." In reality, We know that we are not always at peace with others, sadly, even in the church. Ethnic and social differences still often separate us. There are often differences in opinions and how we live out our lives that cause division and separation. So, motivated by Christ's love and the peace that he has brought to us with himself, we must let that peace rule in our hearts and help us decide what is okay and what is not okay. Remember, Christ is all and in all. Let us boast in Christ who unites us, not in the distinctives that divide us. The second step for suiting up with a new self is to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Job 23:12 says, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. Psalm 119:11, which we just sung, says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. God's word is and should be more precious to us than food. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 8 that God humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And although reading and meditating and memorizing and feasting on God's word is of great benefit to us, it is not just for our benefit. It is for the benefit of others, especially the body of Christ. We are told in this passage to didasco, or to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them. And we are to admonish, nutheteo, or to put in mind, or to caution, or to reprove gently, or to admonish or warn with the word of God. Parents, listen to Deuteronomy 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Look for everyday opportunities, even in small moments, to teach your children about God and to train them in godliness. All of us can use God's word for the benefit of others. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And as Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, that the goal is that we would be mature in Christ. He uses the same two verbs, and he says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. In addition to hiding and teaching and admonishing God's word, we are to encourage and build one another up through singing. The whole book of Psalms records praises to God and provides examples for us to sing. As we saw in Psalm 47 that Nate preached on a few weeks ago, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. I suspect the emphasis here on singing is not so much about the different genres of songs, but because at that time most people couldn't read, and those that could, they did not have scripture, and the canon wasn't complete. We all know that singing is a good way to remember things. Think of advertising jingles. I don't know how many times Libby and the kids have had to listen to me break out in some little ditty from my childhood memory of these silly jingles. Remember the triple dent jingle in the movie Inside Out? Well, anyway, singing is a good way to teach, especially our children. And remember, those of us who are not gifted musically, this is something we should work on because we're going to do a lot of singing throughout eternity. Thirdly, we are to do everything, whether in word or action, in the name of the Lord Jesus. If we keep our eyes on the things that are above and seek Christ, we will be less likely to serve our own interests and align our desires with his desires. We will have his mind and honor him in all that we do and say. As we learned in the recent James series that Nate preached, we are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And James 2:26 says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Later in this chapter 3 of Colossians, when Paul is talking about master and slave relationships, which in our day would probably most closely parallel employer and employee relationships, Paul tells us, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." And in 1 Corinthians 10, in the context of disputable matters of conscience among fellow believers, Paul said, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." But what does that mean to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus? Well, one thing it means is to do things without grumbling and complaining. Philippians 2:14 and 15 says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Let me tell you, in our day, if you do that, you will shine and you will make an impression on people. As we've been learning, we need to replace things like grumbling and complaining with good things, and one of those things is thankfulness, which leads to the fourth step. In each of these last three verses, thankfulness and thanks are used. The words mean to express gratitude or joy, especially for gifts and provision and benefits that we've been given in God. People often say, "I want to know what God's will is for my life." Well, here's a verse that answers that, and it's to give thanks. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And Ephesians 5:20 says, "Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So in closing, let's remember to seek and set our minds on the things that are above. Let's take practical steps to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts and to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, and to be thankful. With these steps that Paul outlines, we can slay our old self and suit up with the new self so that we will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Here are some application questions to ponder. This set was from the first sermon I gave in August, and I just want to briefly again ask this first question. Am I united with Christ in his death and resurrection? If you are not, you can't do these things. It can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have to put on Christ. You have to put on his clothes. And if anyone would like to talk more about that, I would be happy to talk to you, Pastor Nate, Mark, your parents. But please consider that. These other ones we talked about last time. Some other questions to consider. What heart attitudes and actions of my new self do I need to suit up with or put on? Am I loving, compassionate, humble, kind, and patient? Am I holding a grudge or bitterness against someone that instead I need to forgive? Ask God to show you where you need to grow in this. What can I do in CTR and the other communities of which I am a part to create a culture of peace where Christ is all and in all? Am I always wanting my way? Do I think that I'm better than others from different backgrounds, social status, or a different skin color? Are there secondary issues of the Christian faith that I am letting hinder the unity of the body of Christ? Ask God to help you to have discernment, and as much as possible, live at peace with others. What practices can I develop or improve to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly? Maybe it's going to bed earlier and get so you can get up earlier and spend time with God in the morning. There are a number of scripture memory programs. We have a number of resources back there on the shelves that could be helpful. And if you need more ideas, you can talk to Nate or Mark or I, and we'd be happy to help you with that. Whom in my sphere of influence can I intentionally disciple and encourage? Ask God to bring someone to mind or in your life for this. For parents, the most obvious would be your children. Work on the replacement principle. In addition to disciplining your children when they disobey, train them to obey. If they are being loud, work with them to be quiet. When they are griping and complaining, train them to be thankful. Of course, we might have to work on that ourselves. How can I develop my singing skills? I can't help you much with this, but I know Pastor Nate and Clay and Nathan are passionate about this, and they would be happy to help you. I know Paula every week sends out the songs that we're going to be singing. Practice those in your family so that you'll be prepared to sing and worship. What would it look like to speak and do my school or household chores or work or parenting, etc., in the name of the Lord Jesus? Ask God to change our responses to our teachers, our employers, and our parents. Remember that we are working for the Lord. Finally, what steps can I take to create a culture of thankfulness in my life, family, and church? Maybe you could write down each day things to be thankful for. Ask your spouse or a friend to point out to you when you are not being thankful, and you should be. Meditate on the Psalms. They're full of thanksgiving. So, as we close, let's remember to put on new clothes. Let's put on Christ, and let's show the world that we are his disciples by our love for one another.